This podcast of the Em and Harley Show is brought to you by Australia's best mobile network. Get up to speed with their latest offers at your nearest Telstra store or go to telstra.com.au now.
Hello, podcasters. We're flat out today. It was
All over the place. Roddy Chain just nearly tickled a fart out of me.
That's yesterday's run sheet, so that's I don't know. This stuff. We're so tired, you guys. It's Friday. Enjoy the podcast. Jimmy Barnes, remember we pre-sold Jimmy? Jimmy Barnes is in the podcast. Ronnie Chang is in the podcast.
There's a separate podcast for Jimmy.
Thank you.
I don't care for celebrity very much, but I was a little bit... I didn't know how to talk.
You were great.
I
was really cute.
I really like him, and I genuinely just wanted to go to the pub and have a beer.
100%.
Just chat, talk it out.
I liked how he had his... I don't think so. He might have a tipple. Like, he doesn't drink so hard he passes out.
Neither do I. That's irresponsible.
He had his denim shirt undone to just above his navel. And he had this beautiful thatch of white hair with three chains. One of them was Buddha.
I wanted to make out with him.
Me too. He's so attractive, Jimmy Barnes.
Yes.
Creepy for me and you. That's it. Thank you for getting the podcast. Go to hit.com.au. Go to emrossiano.com.au. My tour goes back on sale Monday, general public tour. My book's out this week. HarleyBreen.com.
I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Get
I love you. Goodbye.
It's the radio show that asks all the right questions and some wrong ones too.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, everybody.
I'm so sorry I asked.
Hosted by two people with the attention spans of toddlers.
That was weird.
I don't care. Sometimes I just have to speak about myself in the third person to get through. What's happening?
Let's not even go to the callers.
I don't care.
As for nailing down their actual ages, good luck with that.
Sometimes I forget and I write 1979.
That's weird.
I was born in 1988.
So weird that you don't know the year you were born. I mean, the maths are hard because they change every day.
How dare you?
I mean, not that. Somebody help.
This is the Em Rossiano Radio
Show with Harley Breen. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to your Friday.
Oh, it's Friday. Yes. I really treated yesterday like Friday, but here I am.
You really did. You really did. But that's okay. Here we are. Thank goodness. We have a massive show for you coming up actually next. Is it? Soon.
I bought a trailer.
That's
you
exciting.
Stick around, everybody.
Wow. That's what I meant.
Because that is the sum total of the content.
Great. Jimmy Barnes is going to be on the show. Very exciting. I was surprised yesterday. The team got me. I was yelling about lipstick. You didn't walk, Jimmy. Jimmy, isn't he amazing?
Yep.
He's just...
It was incredible.
Can't you tell he's found peace?
Yeah.
I found
him
to have a real stillness about himself. Yeah. He was incredible, guys. You don't want to miss the interview. It's very good. He also does this amazing scream that is will wake you up.
Hopefully
someone's alarm clock's going off when Jimmy's screaming. but right now, do you know how much tickets were to Woodstock?
Oh, no.
Guess.
$50.
$18.
Oh,
for all those artists.
That's amazing.
Tickets bought before the concert were $18 for all 3 days.
Wow.
At the gate, they were 24, so it was either $6 or $8 a day to attend Woodstock.
A lot of money back then, though.
Woo! I'd buy that. I'd do that.
I'd pay that too.
That was Em's fun fact for the day. It's Friday. We're loose. Get
it
on board.
May not surprise you to know that Brisbane studios have...
A cough button?
Yep.
Because it's 1985.
Exactly.
People asked if you were broadcasting live from jail.
I know. People are going, where is Harley? Why is he in jail?
Harley was in Brisbane this week.
Just Brisbane.
And my screen was like HD, amazing lighting. And Harley looked like he was from the glass at the visitor call centre of prison.
Like everyone kept wrapping me up. It's like... Visiting time's over, mate.
You bought a trailer.
That's it. That's all I've got.
Coming up next, Jimmy Barnes.
I've got to tell you, it's the most masculine I've felt.
I
can't believe it's taken until 37 to buy a trailer.
Actually. Because I own a trailer.
Oh,
it surprises me that I own one and you don't.
I was so overjoyed. I turned up to the person's house and I was a bit late. No, I was texting.
Gumtree?
I was the other one. What's it called?
Trading Post.
I should have put it on Trading
Post. Do they still exist?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Did you ever get the Trading Post? It's like a newspaper.
Of course.
It's the best Saturday.
Awesome.
You'd sit down,
Who's giving away free lizards?
Yeah. Anyway, I turned up there. So excited. I had a guy turn up to my house yesterday and put a toe ball on because I bought a trailer that didn't even have a toe ball.
You double manned yesterday. You double manned so hard.
Yeah. I put on a shin banger.
I'm counting
down the days, mate, until I smack my shin into that thing.
And they come to your house now, toe ball people.
Turned up to my house.
Great.
He turned up at my house. He knocked on the door. I wasn't home.
Yeah.
Hannah threw the car key at him and shut the door.
Good on her.
And I was like, that's amazing. Because I was, the table looked so good when she got home. She goes, I haven't even looked at it. I went, did you pay a man for doing a job that you didn't even look? He could have absolutely turned up, sat outside for an hour. You gave him all that money and then he took off. Mm. She's like, he could have taken the car. I didn't care.
I like her attitude.
You're a legend. So we drove out to the lady's house. I was dealing with a guy. It was very 1970s behaviour, men dealing with men, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, my wife will be home, but she can't help you with the trailer. I was like, what?
Amazing.
Okay. So I turned up, and I was conscious of not, I didn't want to make her feel uncomfortable, so I brought Hannah.
I think you're overthinking it.
Well, she was like, I don't know what's going on. And then we were testing it. The blinkers worked.
Great.
And then they didn't. And then they did. Okay. And then they didn't.
That's the nature.
That's a good joke.
Oh, is that a joke? Oh, sorry, it's early. Yeah.
And then I tested the brakes and they didn't work. And I went, I don't care. I'm going.
Well, what? Do the brakes not work in your trailer?
Yeah, the brake lights didn't work. I was like, that's all right. I'll just drive along with the hazards on.
I'll just like, brake egg! Just yell out the window, hey guys!
Hey, brake egg!
Break egg!
But I secretly think everyone was looking at me as I was driving along, just going, that is the most manliest masculine man.
Oh, definitely. That's what people think when they look at you right now with no beard and your shiny face and
the
big lips and your manicured hair. Nah.
People don't take me
seriously. Can you stop doing gigs during the week at the moment?
I did two last night.
You're allowed to complain you're tired if you're putting on gigs.
Oh.
You're not allowed to. You've got to be peppy and up.
Hey, peppy.
Perfect.
Bye-bye.
So really, the essence, if all men are feeling like they've drained of all your, if the essence of man is now here.
Yeah.
In one Harley brain.
You need a trailer. Put stuff in it.
So yesterday after the show, I was blindfolded, which makes me anxious, let's be honest.
As it should, because this is the workplace where we arrived one morning and a scary clown jumped out at us.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I didn't know why I was being blindfolded.
I wouldn't have let that happen.
I know. I don't know. Why did
you just blindly went, okay.
Because I'm like, oh, it'll be for the good of the show.
I'd just start swinging if somebody tried to blindfold me in this establishment. Well, I nearly did. Like, get away from me.
Well, I was yelling at people just for something new. And so you're going to hear me now sitting there blindfolded. The video is up on our Facebook page. It's quite extraordinary. Jimmy Barnes walks in and I figured it out pretty soon because I nearly swore then. Because I love him. I love him. You love him.
Oh, mate, he's so man. He's so Australian.
So great. He had his shirt undone all the way down to his belly button.
He's so Australian, he speaks with a Scottish accent.
So take you there now. I'm sitting blindfolded and not quite sure what's happening. Could someone have told me that I would have put some lipstick on? Am I facing this person with no lipstick on? For God's sake.
Gorgeous.
Oh, that voice. Oh, my God. Who is it?
Hi. Do you recognise me?
It's Jimmy Barnes!
Hi, mate. How you going? Team, how are we? How are you, dear?
Oh, my God. Do you remember I accosted you at that book thing?
Yes.
Do you remember both our books came out at the same
time? That's right.
And I ran up to you and then when I heard your voice just then, I was like, I'm not meant to hear Jimmy Barnes in at Today FM.
What's he doing here?
You're very on brand for Today FM.
I snuck in. They went looking.
You've got your shirt and your chain. You're looking amazing, doll.
Look at that. That's my Buddha. Yeah.
That's great. Oh, I see. Your Buddha.
That's the Buddha.
And what's that one?
That one's Ganesh, the remover of obstacles.
Oh, I know Ganesh, yes.
I wear Ganesh all the time because I've got a lot of obstacles to be removed.
Puts obstacles in your way and then helps you find ways around them. Seems like you could have just not put them in the way in the first place.
I've got them all. Anything that can help, I wear them.
This is so exciting.
How are you?
I'm really excited.
Have you written a new book yet?
I've actually stole it from under the desk to do. Woo-hoo! Yes. No, I'm ready because mine. It's funny. Mine got re-released the day your second book came out.
There you go.
Always mentioning my book, guys. but no, and then
really, shameless self-promotion.
You know it.
You
just
know
full-time
it.
Whoring, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Trying to stay relevant.
Yeah.
And you and I are both doing the singing book tours as well.
That's it.
So it's. But I just. I mean, oh, I didn't even start. I sung Flame Trees in my show last year. Like. I've always loved you, and I'm like I've become friends with your son just like under the pretense of we're friends with Dave, but
with Dave,
and with Mahalia as well. Yeah. She's a good mate of mine.
She's awesome. Yeah.
But I'm just kind of been waiting for this moment. When you invite me over?
When am I coming for dinner?
What's going on?
When are we having dinner again? Yeah.
Oh my god! So the second part of the book's out.
Yes.
So I read the first part.
Yep.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Well, the second part basically is the impact that all that stuff happened to me as a kid has on me as an adult. And I've got to clarify, I don't use any of that stuff that happened as an excuse for my own behavior.
No.
Because it's a lot of behavior I was responsible for.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But when you read the first book, which I did, your childhood was like something out of Oliver Twist.
Yeah, no, it was pretty.
It was hard.
Strange. It was hard. But there was, you know what, the thing of you know these things when you go out, you talk to people on tour. There was a lot of people came out and related to the book. A lot of people went through that themselves, or they had their parents go through, or their grandparents, or whatever. So we had a lot to talk about. It was good. Yeah.
And now this book, is this just crazy drinking stories?
Well, it's not just that. You know, obviously part of the impact of that childhood on me was I was you know, from as young as I can remember, I was always sort of trying to overachieve and overdo things. I was always compulsive, obsessive. So I always want everybody to like me. So, at 14, I joined a band. At 16, 16 and a half, I joined Cold Chisel. And basically, by the time I joined Cold Chisel, I was already, was in gangs and drinking and taking drugs and fighting and doing all sort of stuff. So by the time I got, people say, oh, you really, went off the rails when you joined Cold Chisel. I was off the rails well before I joined Cold Chisel.
Yeah.
we hear Jimmy okay?
Yeah.
So you were off the rails before you joined Cold Chisel.
Yeah.
And then...
So it's about me trying to sort of, scream around, trying to find my feet, and sometimes I did really well. Other times it got really difficult, and I'm fighting sort of demons the whole way around.
Is writing this book been a real? I mean, do you feel like you've come full circle in knowing yourself? Because it sounds to me like you spent. From when you were a little kid to all the just trying to figure out who you were.
Well, you know what the thing was, I thought I knew who I was, and I didn't like that who I was.
No,
I grew up. I was, ashamed of my upbringing, ashamed of our family, of how they behaved and how the people around us behaved. And so I just ran. You know, when I joined coaches and left home, that was it. I thought I left all that behind me. But basically, I realized that in writing this book, I realized that for 45 years or something, that past has been snapping at my heels. And as long as I could keep touring and keep running and then keep drinking or taking drugs, as long as I didn't feel or think I was okay. But I found every step it got harder and harder. You had to take more or run
more,
faster.
Yeah.
You had to consume more. And to the point where it nearly killed me many times. There's a part of the book, the preface of the book, where about 2012 I ended up, dangling on the end of a rope in Auckland, New Zealand, and for me that was like this. And I didn't remember doing it. Once I seen the cord tied around the rail, I remembered it, and it was like, okay, this has gone way too far.
Yeah.
And that's when then I started. I realized I couldn't run from this stuff.
Yeah.
There's no way you can run from anything. You got, like I've said in the last tour.
Yeah.
If you run, it's going to run you down.
Yeah.
So I had to turn and face all my past, face my history, and to do that I had to get help. And one of the big things in this book, and one of the things I'm really stressing, is that blokes in this country tend not to ask for help.
Yes,
they think it's a sign of weakness. I've got to tell you, the most courageous thing I've ever done in my life was turning and asking for help, because that's when I started to get better, and that's when I became a better father, a better parent, a better husband, a better singer, a better friend. And I think there's, you look at the stats of, of suicide, male suicide particularly.
Yes, alarmingly high.
It's ridiculous. High, and it's all and also the stats on domestic violence, and I think a lot of these things are interwoven, with guilt and shame and not knowing what a man's supposed to be and all that sort of stuff. And so I think, you know, writing this book, as much as it's therapy for me, is starting a conversation about things that men need to look at.
Yeah, and that's all I got to do, just talk. Just talking.
It's starting to talk is the start of a big thing.
Especially someone like you, the epitome of man. Yeah. Like, to hear that, that's so powerful what you're doing for other men. And it's...
Well, I was doing it for myself first. And
yeah,
so, and it
you said
that's
that.
The thing.
And
it
said starts, you had to
that's
go to
what
therapy.
Started the conversation.
Yeah.
And I really think, and I've had blokes, I've been out doing book signings at shops and stuff. And I've had blokes, you know, these big burly blokes you wouldn't think would be talking to you, come up and saying, thanks for writing this.
Jimmy.
Thanks for starting
this.
And I've had family saying that. So it's really important. And I think, you know, like, you know, it's, you know, there's a lot of rock stories and lots of fun in this book too. You know, and obviously I was a bloody lunatic. But
and we're the better for it.
I know. I can't wait.
I'm much better now. I got better.
And you're still here to tell the tale.
Yeah, I'm still here. And the thing is, I don't kid myself. I don't think, you know, all right, I've outran all the past now. It's all gone. You know, I'm looking at it and it's snapping at my ears. I'm looking at it now and I'm dealing with it. And it's a much easier life.
Oh,
that's great.
Now, speaking of singing, I saw a video of you warming up the other day. Your warm-up is... Yeah. Can you do that now, the warm-up?
Step back.
This is Jimmy Barnes.
I do this sort of for about an hour and a half before I go on stage. I sort of I'll start off low because it is early.
Okay.
I go, hey!
And that was so excellent.
And then I'll do that, and then I'll sort of have a honey and hot water, you know, because we're such a gentle soul. And then I'll sort of do it, and I'll push it a bit higher every time I do it.
Wait, there's higher?
Oh, yeah, that's starting.
Oh, wow.
So I find which parts of the register are working and which ones I've got to sort of attack more to warm up.
Is it true that back in the day of heavy consumption that after a performance there was blood on your microphone?
Oh, many a time. I mean, we did when we did The Last Stand in 83, we thought culture was all gone then. And every night we were playing was like the very last show we were playing for a lot of fans. And I didn't sleep for half the tour. And I remember singing, I'd be singing on stage and just spitting out blood constantly onto the floor. It was just coming out my throat.
Whoa.
And then at the halfway through that tour, we had to sort of reschedule the very end of the tour. Because I couldn't speak, and I thought I buggered it up completely.
Oh my gosh.
But basically, I think I found a way around my vocal cords.
Having your vocal cords, your vocal cords are legendary among singers, aren't they? Fused?
No. What it is is you have two vocal cords, main vocal cords, and they're surrounded by secondary cords.
Yes.
Around that time, I think I discovered how to use my secondary cords.
Yes.
And so when you sing with your secondary, it's a bit technical. Sing with your secondary cords, they don't get the growths or nodules or anything like that. So there's quite often now, I'll get a cold or whatever, and I can't speak. But I can still sing.
Yeah, you're
and
legendary.
And I don't lose my top end. You see?
Nah. Just,
I go, oh, I can't sing low, but I can sing high. I can do this.
I can listen to you all day. You sort of come in and out of a Scottish and Australian accent. It's fantastic.
I know.
So, yeah, it just comes out. I'm
beside myself. Your album, it was Flesh and Wood with all the acoustics.
Yeah, it's a beautiful record.
That's my favourite one. It's just to scream, lay down your guns. Like, I did the duet with you that you did with Diesel.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Oh, very good.
Yep. So still a long way to go.
Yeah.
So this is very exciting. Yeah. Jimmy Barnes, you've surprised me. You've come in. Working class man, I could sit and Harley could certainly sit and talk to
I'm
you.
I'm glad you weren't putting your lipstick on with the mask on. It could have been on your chin.
I would have been doing that. but it's the second part of the book because your life was so big you couldn't fit it into one.
Yes, I know. It's still going, so maybe I'll write a third.
I would hope so. I'm hoping there's going to be like a big chisel kind of tour maybe.
Well, you know, they announced yesterday we're doing the Adelaide 500, the V8 supercars.
Chisel?
Oh.
Yeah, Chisel.
I'll be there
because
the time.
It's the 20th anniversary and being an Adelaide band. And
yes!
Casey Chambers is on with us, you know, all
yes.
Dreams, all Adelaide bands.
I'll pop by.
Yeah, so it's going to be awesome.
Oh,
so we're going to tear the track up, you know. But I think we're looking at recording an album next year and maybe do a big tour.
Oh, my God. Okay,
big
I'll be
news.
There. Jimmy Barnes.
Looking for duets.
Yeah, yes! Oh, yes!
Oh, my God.
Where do I sign up?
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
I wish I had a bloody guitar. I would have sung every song with you. Working Class Man, a memoir of running out of time, is out now.
That's number one now, actually.
I'm number three.
Ooh,
I looked at the charts today.
Yeah, number one.
Joel Creasy's up there too. But don't worry, Jimmy. I'll give it to you.
I'll be watching you snapping at my heels.
Thanks for coming in, Jimmy.
Very nice to see you. Thanks
oh
for having
God,
me.
Oh, that's so good. Yay!
Hi, I'm sexologist Dr. Nikki, and my podcast, Sex and Life, is your peek behind the curtains of sex culture. Listen now at Podcast One as I open your eyes to the different ways sex can play a part in your life and relationships. If you're curious about the world of sex, this is the podcast for you. Sex Sex and Life with me, Dr. Nikki, is available at Podcast One. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone. Podcast One.
Mate. M
grew out of a possum.
Shut your mouth.
M got a native animal and turned it
that
into glue.
That is untrue. But there is, I live in the bush and we have a very bad possum problem. I also have a tin roof.
Well, you have possums.
That are very loud on my tin roof.
Yeah, but they're a native animal.
They can get right stuffed. You've obviously never been harassed by a family. You've never been stalked.
I was once held at knife point by a gang of possums.
I know. And it's amazing how dexterous they are with their little pink fingers. They can hold a dagger.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, these guys are mercenaries. Up. My ones have like Rambo face paint and machine guns. Yeah. And they wear their bullets as a crossback across their chest. This is true. Yeah. And they dive bomb onto my roof. You know what they do, the little bastards? They wait until I've laid my head down for the evening. They wait.
Because they've got a spy.
Oh, 100%.
Which is a...
Nana possum.
Yes.
She's old because she can't bomb on, so she's got to watch me through the window. She's like, she's gone to sleep, man. Bomb on her bloody roof.
They also use native mice as spies.
Oh, don't get me started with the
mice. And so they come in.
Oh, they're all dead. I killed them all.
The bouncing ones.
Oh, I know the ones.
The stupid little bouncing ones.
They're all
mice.
Dead now.
I love them, actually.
I took them out. Anyway.
We don't kill native animals.
I kill mice. That's not native. They're a pest.
No, I was talking about the native ones.
You know how I feel, like
mini kangaroos.
You're making them up.
I'm genuinely not
shut
making
up. Let me tell you about my possum. So anyway, this is one possum and I've had it. So I bought myself an owl. You know the owls you can buy from Bunnings? But they've really stepped them up now.
Yeah, they have the owl aisle. These are live owls that you get at Bunnings.
I wish. I don't.
Imagine that.
I went to the owl cafe in Japan. It's really sad. It's not what you think it'll be.
No.
Owls shouldn't be kept in cages. Sandwiches. No, they're in cages. They're sad.
No,
it's a sad cafe.
Yeah.
I went to Bunnings and I bought an owl. And back in the day, the owls were just all one plastic thing. Now you can get ones with spinning heads.
Yes.
And it makes
bubblehead
them look, bubble-headed owls with glass eyes.
Yes.
And so when the wind goes, their head goes. And also when the light hits their eyes, it looks real. So the possums think it's real.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So I liquid nails a big owl to our beautiful wooden deck. So Scott got home because Scott knows because it's
just right on the deck,
right onto the wood.
Yep.
Right next to...
Just right there permanently.
Oh, because you know what? Let me tell you. I've got a birdhouse and I love feeding my native birds. All right? I've got cockatoos coming, the rosettes. Oh, the king parrots are stunning this time of year, right?
Yep.
But the bloody possum, if the birds don't eat all the food, then the possums come in.
Right.
And they poo on everything.
Yeah. And they do poo everywhere.
Oh, the pooing needs to stop, possums.
And when you go out after a night of just possum pandemonium and a little bit of moisture with a pram, it is just poo everywhere.
They poo everywhere.
You've got to burn the pram.
I've had it, exactly. So Scott got home and he said, what is that? And I said, it's Barry the barn owl. He's going to protect the birds from the possums. And he's like, the possums are going to knock that off. I go, this isn't my first rodeo, princess. And I said, come outside. I said, try and knock it. So Scott knocks it, doesn't move. I go, liquid nails, brother. Liquid nails.
Permanent fixture.
You stuck a plastic owl with a bobblehead onto our wooden deck with liquid nails. I said, you bet I did. If I could have found cement, I would have done that. Yeah. He said, and we can't get that off. I said, I know. And you know who else can't get it off? The stupid possums. So last night I sat. You guys, and I waited. I'm a bit tired today.
Yeah.
I'm tired because I couldn't get my brooches on properly. I was late, and I'm also tired because I stayed up late.
Okay.
And I watched. And
watching possums.
Watch a possum, and I sat. I sat with Roy, my dog, with my little, I had like a fake shotgun. In my mind, I was holding a shotgun. I wasn't.
Right.
And then I watched, and the stupid possum, he slid down the back thing. He slid down our sail, and he saw the owl, and he freaked out.
Yeah.
And they jumped into the bird thing, and they was looking at the owl, and then the owl was like bobbling, and the possum went. I've done it.
You got about a day of that.
Possum zero.
That possum's going to figure
out. No, I'm
going
to go out there at night and go, ooh, piss off, ooh, stop eating the bird seed, ooh, I'm going to kill you and all your family while you sleep.
Where did this break go?
To a fun place.
Six kinds of sideways.
That's what we should call the show.
Six kinds of sideways. That was a festival show title of mine.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Coming
I
up next, we took a run up. What's the Siberia's next? And it's What's the Siberia R&B track. So get your calls in early. That's to make up for playing Jimmy Barnes. Everyone's wrapping us up. Why are you wrapping us up, dickheads? Talk as long as I want. I'm just going to sit here. How dare they wrap us up?
What is happening? I have not slept enough.
Avocado toast is out there.
Okay, let's go. That's
What's the superior thing we're talking about now?
You know what I would like? Have you seen those Nintendo limited editions they've brought back, the little ones?
Yeah.
Oh, if anyone's really? Listening and want to send me one, I'll take all the photos and put it on all my
social media. Like Donkey Kong
yes.
ones? And,
please send me one.
I'll have a Donkey Kong.
Please send me one. We are doing today, because it's R&B Friday.
Yes.
And we played a Jimmy Barnes song.
Which is super R&B.
And we knew we'd have to get Jace back on side.
Yeah.
So just to give Jace a little bit of a movement in his pants.
Yeah.
We thought we'd do What's a Superior R&B Song.
Yes. And I...
struggled.
Started smelling burnt toast. Yeah. Look, I want to say this. If I got to choose whatever I wanted, I would play some music by my mate Katie Baker. Go and look her up. She's absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. Australian
She's
artist.
Great.
But you got to know people.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, how do you know people without playing them?
Go.
And then you know them.
Okay, come on.
And Sieta, which she's a part of. Katie Baker, Sieta. But I did a search.
Yeah.
What did I come up with?
Killing Me Fuji. Softly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This
is drumming my pain with his fame. Good song. Lauryn Hill.
Yeah. Sister Act.
Wyclef Jean. Hate each other.
Sister Act 2.
Now, the prize today for the best R&B song is two tickets to see my stand-up show at the Opera House, April...
Which is very R&B.
I should know my own show date. Yeah. April 12th, Thursday, April 12th at the Opera House, which is nearly sold out already.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you. Tickets go on sale Monday for everyone else. Pre-sale was very successful. Sydney, you're gorgeous. I think we're going to have to do three shows. Amazing. But 13:10:60 today, what's a superior R&B track? Best one gets two tickets to my stand-up show. I have two because I love this genre.
Yes.
So if we're going old, one of the first people I ever listened to because my dad's a big fan is Stevie Wonder and Master Blaster for me. This bass line is killer.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my favourite old school R&B. In my favourite new school, I have to say, this. I play this once a day. It's in my playlist.
Yeah.
Kanye West, Touch the Sky.
Oh, yeah. Come up in the spot looking extra fly. Yeah.
From the day I die, I'm gonna touch the sky. Now let's take them high. Now, the person who we deem worthy of winning this,
yes,
they don't only get tickets, yeah, they also get to commandeer M's gem.
Oh.
We're gonna play the winning track at 7 o'clock as M's gem. So you get to program the music this morning, Sydney, for one song.
Same it's as old school radio.
Yes.
It's request radio.
So let's do this. It is. Oh, my God. It's ring up and request a song.
It doesn't happen anymore.
Nah. 13:10:60, what's a superior R&B song? You win tickets to my stand-up show next year at the Opera House, and you also get to program the 7 a.m. song.
Big deal.
We'll take your calls next. What's a superior thing we're talking about now? What's a superior R&B track? We were just saying off air, we can't believe it's taken us 11 months to do this.
Yeah.
It's a good one. The winner today receives two tickets to see my stand-up show at the Opera House next year, Evil Queen, and also the right to pick M's gem today, which is
That's right.
Massive honour.
It's a big deal.
Sean in Campbelltown, what's a superior R&B track?
Gangster's Paradise by Coolio.
Oh, boom. 100%. Oh. Yes. Shawnee, what's your favourite bit to rap?
I got too many to name.
No, but do you like the bit where it goes, money and the power, power and the money?
Yeah.
That bit.
When it goes biblical.
Yes, when it goes biblical. Love that, Shawnee. Thanks, honey. Paulie. Hey, Paulie.
How are you?
Good, mate. What's the superior R&B track?
The superior R&B track has to be Gangsters. Sorry, not Gangsters.
Whoopsie. Seems like someone has a potty mouth and unleashed a plethora of profanity. Or we hit the wrong button. We'll be right back.
Lukey, are we back in delay?
Yes.
Great. Yes. Okay. I don't know what you guys just heard, but we had Paulie drop a double F-bomb.
Double F-bomb.
But
he dropped it, and then to apologise and correct himself, he said it again.
Which is extraordinary. Well done, Paulie.
Super Australia, good on you, but we can't put you there.
But his song was this song. Down. They got guns to my head. I think I'm going down. I can't believe it's happening in my own town. If I had wings, I would fly. Let me contemplate. Such a glance good song. On the cut
and I talked about that very issue last night on stage, about how we can't put F-bombs there.
No. Well, that was a triple. That was a lot.
That was a lot.
Sometimes, if you guys pay attention, I let little soft ones go to air. Like, I go, guys, don't dump. But I couldn't. There was no triple.
No. That was flat out.
Yeah. Kenny in Campbelltown. Hey, Kenny.
Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Oh, hi, Em. How are you?
Good. Just try not to drop any F-bombs when you give us your...
Yeah, I'll try.
It is R&B Fridays. We are getting stuff. Yeah. Like, come on. What's the superior R&B track?
So those last two selections were really good, but there's one that beats that, and that's Tupac, California Love, still going off 20 years later in the clubs.
Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah. Are you going to the club, Sarah? What club do you go to?
Just whatever's happening at the time, so.
Do you go to the Ivy on a Friday night?
No, I don't, Fridays? No, I don't go there, no.
Mate, you need to get down, apparently it goes. Okay. Off. I'm in bed by the time it starts, but.
They won't let me in.
They might now, you don't have a beard. You don't look like Ned Kelly anymore. Kenny, hey Kenny.
Hey Em, hey Ali, how are you?
Good, mate.
What's the superior R&B track?
Let's Get Married by Jagged Edge. Very nice.
Greatest lyrics ever. We ain't getting no younger. We might as well do it.
Oh, is that what they said? Yeah. I mean, it's romantic.
People play that at their wedding and they don't listen to the lyrics.
Wow.
Yeah. Meet me at the altar in your white dress. We might as well do it. We're too old.
Yeah. Mate of mine went to a wedding that they played I Can't Find a Better Man. That's rough, isn't it?
That's so rough. That's something we should talk about. Make a mental note for content. Inappropriate wedding songs.
Yes.
Melanie. Hey, Melanie.
Hi, good morning, Em. Good morning, Harley.
Hi,
hello,
mate.
Darling, so professional. I love that. There'll be no F-bombs from Melanie Croydon. what's the superior R&B track?
No Diggity by Blackstreet, of course. I like the way you work
it. No Diggity. Absolutely. Bag it up. Yep. I like the way I'm feeling it. Deep in my crotch.
It just sort of makes you want to box side to side.
100% aggressively body roll.
Yeah.
dry hump a pole in a club. So good. Lisa. Hey, Lisa.
How are you?
Good. Hi, this is an oldie. You're too young to love this song.
No, I'm not. This is a classic.
Yeah. What is it? What's the superior R&B track?
Have You Ever by Brandy.
Oh.
You reach up and you pull it down.
Yes. Grab so that butterfly.
So out of my depth.
Amazing. I'm not too young. I'm 30. It's my genre.
Oh, it's so great. Such
You're
a good
welcome.
Song. Thanks, Lisa. That's great. all right, but I'm going to give the win to Sean in Campbelltown.
Oh, Sean gets it. Shawnee.
Hey, Sean. Yes. Hey, Sean.
Yep.
I know you're going to be very excited about this. You've got two tickets to see my stand-up show at the Opera House next year.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. You'll make my handbrake very happy.
Your handbrake? Dude, yeah. I want to take them off you now.
She loves you. She listens to your podcast and everything.
Oh, well, Shawnee, you're going to be in the good books. You guys are getting some good tickets to that.
Hi, Tiffany Hall and Cass Dunn here. We are so excited to share with you our new show called Crappy to Happy. And Cass, there are so many ways to feel crappy.
Absolutely. We're stressed, we're busy, overwhelmed, eating too much sugar, emotional eating.
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
You're a personal trainer, I'm a psychologist. Together we've worked with thousands of people to help them improve their emotional, mental, physical well-being.
It's going to be so much fun. And you're going to learn a lot along the way.
And so are we.
And so are we from each other. So go to podcastone.com.au and tune in.
Forget the alpha bets. We're all about Alpha Bucks. For your chance to win $1,000 every week, download the Alpha Bucks app on your smartphone now.
Oh, hey, Ange.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Hey, buddy. How are things in the gong today?
Oh, yeah, beautiful. Sunny Friday. Can't be better.
Great. I love your attitude.
Could be better.
Let's crush your dreams.
Yeah. She's got a can-do attitude, Ange.
Yeah,
I'll
tell her.
Okay, go.
Your letter's G. I'll get that into your head as quick as possible. G. You got 10 questions with that letter. Your time will start after I finish the first question. We have to take your first answer, and you can only use it once. How are you feeling, Ange?
Oh, you know what? Pumped. Let's go.
All right, John.
Excellent attitude.
Good luck,
John. All right, here we go. Name a board game.
Pass.
A fruit.
Grape.
A dog breed.
German Shepherd.
A shampoo brand.
Garnier.
A Disney character.
Pass.
An AFL team.
Geelong.
A female celebrity.
Jerry Halliwell.
A school subject.
Pass.
A European city.
Pass.
A word that ends in O.
Oh, dear.
You were quick and you were slow all at the same time.
That 30 seconds flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does fly by. You got $500. And
thank you, guys.
Well done, honey. That's good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Have a great weekend in the gong. So, as promised, we're going into Em's Gem.
That's right.
We've awarded this to Sean from Campbelltown, I believe.
Sure.
Shawnee picked this. Won tickets for my stand-up show for his handbrake.
That's what he referred to his partner.
Shawnee, I know you're listening now for your song. Don't call your lovely partner / wife, whatever the situation may be, a handbrake. I know it's a joke.
Yeah.
I know she's just trouble and strife.
Yeah.
What's the other one they say? Wife and kisses, hugs and kisses, misses.
Oh, hugs and kisses.
Yeah, that's okay. Nice. Call it your hugs and kisses.
Trouble and strife.
Nah, I don't do that one.
I don't mind that.
No, I like
sometimes
hugs and kisses.
Trouble and strife is a nice thing. Ball and chain, no good.
No good.
131060, are you a man that is getting lip injections?
Why? This is so off-brand for you.
I was like, why? Why are you getting lip injections? I partly want to talk about it because people are still being very nasty about my face. Because I shaved it and people are being nasty. I just wanted you to know all your comments about my face. It's my face. I was born with it. I can't change it. You're very, very rude. And I'm doing it for charity, so I hope you feel bad.
But you don't care because you know you're handsome.
It's still rude.
But do you care?
And
do you care?
Well, I'm being honest. I don't care.
Does it hurt your feelings?
But it's also, no, it doesn't hurt my feelings, but it's also rude and unacceptable.
Yeah.
I don't care, but unacceptable.
Sorry, I called you Voldemort.
You weren't the first one to do it, but you backed it up.
I'm sorry.
You're part of the problem. Everybody, wrap it up.
Just grow your beard back and then we won't have a problem.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? To spite everyone, because this is how my brain works, at the end of November, I'm shaving it off and everyone can shut the F up.
Boom.
Okay, 131060. What did you want to ask people? Which I was very surprised you wanted to do this.
Well, because I have very luscious lips.
You do.
They're very big.
Actually, I don't mind mine either.
Yeah, they're big too. Mm. I'm very, very surprised to find that surgeons are seeing an increase in men getting lip injections to look like celebrities.
I don't believe one man is going to call.
I don't believe it either.
I don't believe one man is going to call on 131060. There's no way. There are guys out there getting lip injections, collagen in their lips.
I don't believe it.
There's no way on 131060.
If you're a man that gets any...
This is a fake study.
I reckon so too. Surgeons say there has been a rise in the number of men who want lip injections to give them a proud lower lip and a natural smirk.
What?
Yeah. A plastic surgeon in Miami, Florida, said that men... Well, see, that's
Hang on a minute.
If I'd read that bit, Miami, Florida, well, of course that's happening.
Why?
I don't know. It just seems like the place where people are doing
100%.
it.
100%. Miami makes sense. Yeah. There's plastic everything.
Because there's men there that are in their 70s or 80s that are trying to look like they're in their 40s or 50s.
They're magnificent.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see about this guy. That men are flocking to him. That's a hard word to say. To him to get macho mouth procedures. That is not the name of it.
Don't try and make it a thing.
That make their lips more plump without feminizing their faces. Oh, come on.
Wait, it's called Macho Man?
Macho.
Oh, God.
They called it Macho Mouth Procedures.
Macho idiots.
If you want to be taken seriously as a doctor, don't come up with something called Macho Mouth Procedure. Despite fielding hundreds of clients a year, he says he always sees the same four celebrity wish pits.
Oh, who do they want to look like?
Brad Pitt, no surprises.
Wait, I've got to think of his lips. Oh.
Channing Tatum.
Yeah, he's got a full powdered old Channing
Harry
Tatum.
Harry Styles.
Oh.
And I don't even know who this is. Henry Cavill. Who's Henry
Cavill?
Oh,
God, Superman.
Oh, he's a handsome man. So this is what's suggesting. Now, we had...
Okay.
We've had
Stuart,
a phone call.
We've had a man call in to say he has had collagen lip injections. Hello, Stuart in Paddington.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good, mate.
Now, Joel, you've had it done.
Yes.
Can I start with your age, Stuart? How old are you?
I'm 26.
Wow, that is young to be getting stuff pumped into your lips.
When did you do it?
It would have been about 2 years ago. I used to be really self-conscious, I suppose,
yes.
About the way I looked. I felt I've only ever gotten laser hair removal as well. That's the only other procedure, but lip injections were the only one because I just felt that my lips were very small and it was part of my face that I wanted to fix.
Yeah.
So I went forward with it, but as time's gone by, not only do I spend a bit too much money on other stuff, but I felt like I don't need to reassure myself in that way anymore.
Oh, that's
well, that's
good.
I'm happy about that. I mean, I'm happy about your choice to do it because it's, you know, do whatever you want, but I'm also happy that you're more at peace with your face.
Did you regret getting it done when you got it done?
No, I don't. I know why I did it at the time.
Did it look good?
Questionable. I think that might have been one of the reasons I stopped getting it.
Right.
Did you look like you'd been smacked up in the mouth a little bit?
That's exactly what I look like. Bee stings everywhere.
It's a hard lesson to learn.
Yeah.
I've seen what lips look like after, I know quite a few of my male friends.
Yes.
Have had it done.
Yes.
And you do genuinely, it blows up like it is out of control.
Yeah.
So I can imagine.
What I'm happy about is this discussion is that men, often women won't understand that this is the case, but men do struggle with vanity of their appearance,
of course.
Body dysmorphia, all of those things.
Kieran's got body dysmorphia. our digital guy. Kieran thinks he's very, very muscular.
You're right, mate. I'm here for you.
Kieran's the guy who goes to the gym 6 days a week and then told me he was so excited. What did you say about Uber Eats last night? What did you find out?
They now have cinema food on Uber Eats, so you can order cinema popcorn to your house.
Can you? You can get a choc top delivered.
He
was so wrapped about that.
For $35, you can get an ice cream. It's amazing. What a great deal. What a great break. Everybody.
No, that's good. You know what? It is a good point, and I've learned this through my daughter's teenage male friends, that they look on Instagram, they see the hard bodies, and they think, why don't I look like that? And they put a lot of pressure on themselves.
Because as there is one type of woman portrayed in terms of what is perfect, there's also one type of man.
Yeah.
And I just want to say to everyone, all the blokes listening, don't stop looking at what's portrayed as a man. It's not real.
It's not real. You're a real man.
Jeez, I'm manly.
Tomorrow is Derby Day in Melbourne and the husband and I are heading off.
Oh.
Yes, it's the only day I'm going to.
Yes.
I'm not going to any other days. And we went suit shopping for Scott yesterday. I met him.
An interest of mine.
Yeah, you do.
I actually like it. I got a few suits.
Yeah.
I like a suit.
My husband goes shopping once a year.
Yep.
And he treats it like a Black Hawk mission ops special forces.
Yeah, right.
In and out.
Yeah.
Spends a lot of money in one hit and that covers him for the whole year.
Good on him.
So we went to Hugo Boss.
Yes.
And that's his favourite. That was his wedding suit. My husband has, I like Hugo Boss suits. So I'm like, okay.
So that's it.
So we just went to Hugo Boss. That was it.
Yeah.
And we had two people helping us and we were suggesting, so for Derby Day, it's black and white. That's the theme, right? So generally stick to it, black and white. So Scott decided, he spotted a suit and he walked straight to it and he pointed at it and he said, this one. And I said, and I looked at it and I was like, okay, Scott wanted a white tux.
What? No, mate.
What?
No.
My husband, the barefooted surfer
yep.
who doesn't like to wear clothes in general,
yep.
wanted to wear
Well, a lot of people have tried the white suit.
0 to 100.
For a while now. In fact, when I worked for this company in my first incarnation, I went to a Christmas party dressed in a white suit because I can't remember the theme was.
But I just, something...
Don't wear white suits is the answer.
Is there something to a man, like a man who loves... Is there something in that because it's like a unicorn, like something you wouldn't normally do? And for Scott, is like... And Scott's justification was James Bond wears a white suit. I said, yeah, but, doll, you're a pasty redhead.
So is James Bond at the moment.
Who, Daniel Craig?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but Daniel Craig. He could wear a thong and still look amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Scott's like, no, and he just got it in his crawl, in his mind, that he was going to wear
a white suit.
And he wanted a white waistcoat.
Oh no, well, you got to stop there.
Well, I'm like, what are you, a pip?
And white shoes?
I'm not. I reckon white Scott could pull off a white suit.
The whole white, and then maybe
it's a bit much though.
Black shirt, black tie, white. I said. No. But it was like the most, I didn't know what to say. I'm not expecting it.
I'm imagining that that's not what happened.
Well, we let him try it on and he stood in the mirror and he was pleased as punch he was.
Did he look good?
And you should have seen the little amazing gay guy working at Hugo Boss trying to talk him out of it. It was an art form.
Yeah.
He was like, sir, you know, I just feel we have other options that would be, I mean, I love this. I love this on you. And I'm just sitting there going, it looks shit. And this guy's going, don't, stop it, Em, stop it. Sir, you look great, but could I suggest some other things that I think we could go better?
I would have just said, mate, you're about to have a few drinks.
Oh, he would have spilled.
Do not want to have a white suit on for that.
Every single item of clothing my husband owns has an olive oil stain in the chest because he drops food. He doesn't care. Scott doesn't take any. We would have had a stain, an unfortunate stain, before we even arrived. He would have had to have gone to the races nude and got dressed as we got out and then just worn a bib that went just a sheet.
No, one of those dog cones.
A cone. Yeah. And I could have just shot the food in there. No, we
did. What about this? What if you wore the white suit and then before you go, you're allowed to throw glitter bombs at him?
I'm listening.
Yeah. So this stuff that's in front of you that you're painting your skin with, he puts the suit on and then you just piff glitter
suit.
At him.
I don't mind the glitter suit. That's a great idea. No, we went with a nice kind of bluey, blacky Hugo Boss situation in the end. So we went, I just look good on you for trying, mate. Yeah. That's a nice.
No white suits.
And I'm going to look like Maleficent. We're going to be quite the couple. I'll pull photos up. Yeah, okay. I've got feathers. I'm going to get smashed by the fashion people. I look like I'm going to take flight. The Wicked Witch of the West. It's very exciting.
Oh, they do that whole thing where they get pictures of women and judge them.
I'll be number one on worst dress, and I, quite frankly, Sydney, am excited by that fact. Right now, we're doing our favourite segment, and you know what? I have a bunch of Drake tickets to give away to the best caller.
But oh, yes.
You must have a good story. Don't just call in willy-nilly for Drake tickets.
Yeah.
We're doing this.
Hang on, I've got to find that cart. Oh. Where is that?
Oh, where's the cart? Now that we found love. Don't call in that number. You don't even know what we're doing.
Found it.
Go.
Spooky music. It's crap. It's not true.
Well, something strange in your neighborhood. I won't believe you. Ghost skeptic. When there's something weird and it don't look good. I won't believe you, cause I'm a ghost skeptic. I don't believe in no ghosts. Yeah!
Turns out you do. Longest intro, and turns out absolute crap.
No,
actually believe in ghosts.
Some ghosts.
No, pretty much the only ones that you don't believe in are ye olde that aren't related.
Correct. So that is not all. And you know what's good about that long opener? Yeah. Gives me a chance to read the article. The team have found me.
That is good.
131060, ring up with your ghost stories for Ghost Skeptic. What do you got? Best ghost story gets 2 tickets to see Drake's Boy Meets World Tour final show, Kudos Bank Arena, Wednesday, November 15. Tickets from $61. Grab your tickets now through Ticketek. But we have a few to give away now.
I don't even believe in saying touch wood because it's superstitious. So.
Touch wood. Oh. There's no wood in the shit. Where's the wood? Oh, always touch wood. Always, I touch wood.
I bet.
I love wood. I love touching wood. Touch touching the wood. Oh,
I'm too tired.
I love touching wood.
I'm going to say the wrong thing.
Nah, you're right.
Why are you all calling? You can't all have ghost stories.
Because I got jag tickets, the prize pigs.
You're going to have to make up a good ghost story.
Better be good, you guys. We'll be able to pick if you're just making it up on the spot because we make it up on the spot. We know.
Yes.
A mum says her ghost, you're going to love this.
Yep.
There's so many things to unpack about this. Yep. I'm just feeling you're going to enjoy it. Don't read it. Let me tell you. A mum says her house is being haunted by a ghost called Malcolm.
I like that its name's Malcolm.
How does she know it's Malcolm? Thank you for asking. Mm-hmm. Karen Wakefield says she knows the ghost name's Malcolm because it was revealed by a Ouija board.
Hmm.
A Ouija board.
Yeah, Ouija.
Yep. Malcolm smashes photographs, slams doors, and also pretends to be her boyfriend.
Hey, Mum.
For 13 years, Malcolm has wreaked havoc on her home and still leaves her terrified. But the 52-year-old says, Harley, she says, look, I've accepted him as part of the family and I've started signing his name on Christmas cards to family and friends.
Wow.
Karen says, I'll chat to him and tell him if he's acting up. It's the best way to be. He loves interacting with people. He even puts the kettle on when we have guests.
Does he? Oh, man.
Malcolm even manages to mimic us. Once I heard my own voice out on the landing when I was in bed. Another time when I went downstairs, nobody was there and his car was gone. But Malcolm
his
has a car.
What? I think Malcolm's just your boyfriend.
Oh, no, Paul's her boyfriend. I missed that bit. Oh, she's actually in a polyamorous relationship with Malcolm and Paul.
Oh.
She's accepted Malcolm.
She needs actual medical attention.
How dare you?
She needs actual
she's
professional
she's gone to
help
the trouble of naming the ghost health and signing Christmas cards. Mm. Can you imagine if you got a card from Kaz? Dear Harley, Merry Christmas.
Love.
Karen, Paul and Malcolm the ghost. Yes.
Wow.
131060. The ghost skeptics are in. I am slightly less skeptical than Harley.
I just don't believe it.
I do.
You'll have some stories too. I quite often hear stories. I'm like, I can't explain that, but I definitely don't believe that it's any kind of supernatural being.
I love sitting back and telling and listening to other people tell a story. I'm just looking forward to the storytelling. Yeah. Gives us absolutely a break. Then we got the Jimmy Guns.
Jimmy Guns
pre-record. We're sweet to 8 o'clock. We're doing. You want to go to the toilet? We're going to play the opener.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spooky music. It's crap. It's not true.
When there's something strange in your neighborhood, I will believe you. Ghost skeptic! When there's something weird and it don't look good, I will believe you, because I'm a ghost skeptic!
Some ghosts.
It's from February, and it turns out you actually believe in ghosts.
I believe in everything. I'm a desperate person. Yeah. I'm just hoping someone else is in charge somewhere. I don't believe in, like, God, but I'm not saying he's not there.
You're an agnostic.
I'm hedging my bets.
Yeah.
Just in case.
You're a fence sitter.
Yeah.
That's not fair of agnostics to call them fence sitters.
Oh, what am I? I just believe. I believe in faith.
You believe. You have
I believe
faith in spirituality.
Yeah, I believe in spirituality.
Yep.
But I don't know about.
You haven't locked it down to an untrue God in terms of the Christian or the Islamic sense.
Yeah. I don't know about the bearded guy. The I don't know about the bearded man.
Yes.
But everything else I believe in.
Sure.
I believe in nature.
And I
believe the children are our future. Teach them well, let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty that. Show them all the beauty.
I believe in one life, one chance. Treat each
you live
other
like that.
With love.
That's how you
respect,
live.
Respect humanism. Whatever. God.
This is Light FM. Talisha, hello.
Hey guys, how are we?
Have you just made up a ghost story to win Drake tickets?
No, I haven't actually.
All right, hit me with your ghost story.
So the last few weeks, I live in a pretty big house, two stories, doing my hair, cleaning the kitchen. I hear this little laugh and then I'll turn around and this little boy's running past me.
Whoa.
Creepy.
Now, I was always a skeptic like you guys, but I went and saw a medium and I sat down with her and the first thing she said to me was, your little cousin is following you.
What?
And I was like, I don't have any little cousins that follow me. She goes, no, he's not here anymore. And then, yeah, it sort of hit me that my baby cousin that passed away is with me all the time. But it was kind of scary at first having this little boy laugh when no kids in the house.
Of course. That is disturbing. And I can't.
Wow. Is it still happening?
It is. He's still here.
Oh, my gosh. How can you explain that away? You can't.
Oh, I can't explain it.
Can't. And no, the medium just knew that you had a cousin that had passed away.
Yep. Straight away. It was the first thing she said to me.
Okay.
Yep. Right.
Hold on the line there, Talisha. How do you explain that? You can't.
No, no, I can't.
And it's very niche and specific for the medium to pick cousin.
It is niche.
She could have just said male relative.
Sure.
She went cousin.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Very clever, those, these mediums, and what they ask and how and the information you give and them being suggestive in putting it into you.
No.
Lauren. Hi, Lauren in Homebush.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. What's your ghost story?
So my Irish great aunt lived in an old creepy house in Concord by herself, and a mate went past the house and saw what he thought was her in the top window of the attic. And he stood there waving for ages, trying to get her attention, didn't get a response, just was standing there not moving. Found out later that day that she wasn't even at home at all that day. She was at work. So we never found out who this person was just standing at the top window.
Cleaner? The cleaner?
No.
I woke up once and thought there was a person in my room just standing there looking over my bed. And I looked at her and I said, "Who are you?" And the person didn't talk. And I karate kicked from my bed the person in the chest. Turns out it was the fan with the coat over it.
Forget the alphabet. We're all about Alpha Bucks. For your chance to win $1,000 every week, download the Alpha Bucks app on your smartphone now.
Hey!
Sorry, but you know what that music sounds like? It's like a kind of offbeat Miami Vice.
Yes.
Like a cheaper version of that. It's just really funky cop.
Yeah.
Like
alarm. Funky cop. Beep, beep, beep. Other shows have like, oh, $4. Pew, 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 yeah.
Pew. Biggity, biddy, yeah.
Ours is jaunty cop.
And he is a white man with an afro.
Oh, dear.
Biddy, biddy, boo.
Have we played the... Yeah. Ashley! Because that's what we were just talking about.
We're literally talking
about. Good morning!
G'day, mate.
Hi, Ash. Welcome.
Hi, how you going?
Good, buddy. We're just going to get straight to it because we are 22 minutes late.
Your letter is W, so I can't wait to give you $100. Nah, just got to be quick, mate. There's answers. There's always a possibility at the 10,000. You get 30 seconds to get there. The time starts after the first question. I have to take the first answer and you're going to use it once. Here we go.
Okay.
W is the letter. Name an American state.
Washington.
A cocktail.
A watermelon daiquiri.
A fashion accessory.
A watch.
An NRL player.
A pass.
An electronics brand.
A pass.
A Sydney ferry stop.
Waterloo.
A magazine.
Women's Day.
An adjective.
Adjective. A wish.
A movie.
What women want.
No, you were solid.
You were solid. You were good.
Far out.
You got me a bit nervous. I was like, oh, God, I don't even know which one she passed on. Are we going to go back?
Harley was being very cavalier with the passes.
Only 400. I don't believe that. I think it was $10,000.
$400.
$10,000. You win. $400, mate. Well done.
Good
job. Thank you.
No worries. Hey, 13, 10, 60.
Uh-oh.
We want to talk about a touchy subject next, and both of us are a little bit uncomfortable about it, but we know that a lot of you will have a say. A European airline has decided they want to start weighing their passengers to figure out, they say now, people are overdoing it with carry-on, and also we are obviously are a population that has a problem with obesity, and so they want to be able to calculate their weights better because they're just going on averages that they think are old. And then there's this whole debate, who's the responsibility of overweight passengers and the comfort of people around them, and airlines are having to deal with this now as we are getting fatter as a people.
Yes.
So we just want to know what you think about weighing passengers.
Whether you'd be okay.
Yeah, how you would feel if, say, Qantas all of a sudden started weighing everyone that got on board their planes. We'll talk more about this. is next.
This is not about judgment of a person's size or weight, but there is an airline.
European airline.
Finland.
Yep.
Finnair. Mm-hmm. That are going to start weighing their passengers.
Mm-hmm. Now, they're saying they're not planning on penalising anyone they consider overweight. They're doing it to cut operation costs.
They know where to sit you.
Yeah. They're saying by working out a more exact weight and balance of the aircraft, they're able to streamline their operating costs when it comes to fueling. Now, fuel is very, very expensive.
Very expensive.
Like, that's the majority of money goes into for airplanes is the fuel.
Yeah, I'm not overweight, but I'm 100 kilos.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a consideration. Where do you sit me? Where, I'm also very big.
Yeah.
I'm a long person.
You're a long person.
And they're making these chairs
much smaller.
Smaller and smaller.
So the problem is, and 301060, we'd love to know what you think. How would you feel if you turned up to the airport and were weighed before you got on the plane? Now, we've been reading and reading, and this is a thing that is getting a bigger and bigger problem for airlines, basically. People are turning up and they're not fitting into the seats.
Yes.
And so now there's an argument that airlines are going to have a policy that passengers of a certain weight or a certain
size
have to purchase two seats.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I'd like to do that.
So would I, but it's very expensive. Yeah,
it is very expensive.
And then people are saying, you know, we feel like that's discrimination against overweight people. But the reality is, Harles, that we have a problem with obesity in this country and America obviously does as well.
A lot
and this
of places
is this a reality. So then there's the argument airlines just need to make the seats bigger.
Well, for them, they're a business. They've got to make a profit. Mm. And the best way that they can do that is jam as many people as they can in. It's a purely logistical thing from their point of view, but obviously on the other side of the equation, it's a personal thing.
Yeah, and it's embarrassing. Let's be honest.
I was on a flight, I told you off air, on a flight where a man had to be moved because he was too big for the emergency exit aisle, and I felt real bad for him.
Yeah, and people who are big know they're big. They don't need to be shamed publicly.
No. So it's not like you're going to call someone fat and they're like, oh, am I?
Yeah.
I had no test.
It's a touchy thing. So we thought we'd throw it out there, see what you guys think. Nicola, hey, Nicola.
Hi, good morning.
How would you feel if you rocked up to Sydney Airport and you were weighed before you got on the flight?
Well, I mean, I'm a bigger girl myself. Like, I'm not huge, but I'm sort of on the curvier side. And if everyone's being weighed, then I don't see it as a problem. I know I'm big. And I know it's got to do with fuel costs and safety issues as
and
well.
Safety,
like, you need to know the weight of people these days. And we are a bigger society. We are, you know, generally people have gotten bigger. And I think they just need to update it. And so I wouldn't be, look, as long as everyone else was getting weighed, I'd be happy to jump on. I know.
That's
I'm
what
kidding.
We were saying.
That's fine.
As long as my 10-year-old's getting weighed, as well as, you know, a larger gentleman, as long as they're not walking down the line just picking people out.
They need to know an average weight of the plane.
Yeah.
So weigh everyone, and that would be fine. I mean, they just go hand in hand with, like, the double seat belt thing. Like, they're not made like... We're not made like we're used to, and planes have been made on an average of people. So I think things need to change, and if that's... what they got to do, then
that's
so
good,
be
Nicola.
It.
And I think if this is preventing planes from crashing, weigh whatever you want.
Well, I don't even know if it's about the crashing. It's literally business profit.
A couple airlines were saying that they're concerned about the ratio.
I weigh myself just about every time I go to the airport. By the way, I got to
do you on the scales.
Yeah, because I got to go to oversize.
Yeah.
but I do have to go to oversize to put the pram in.
Yeah.
And I've always got Walter strapped to my chest, and then I'll stand on the scale.
Oh,
look,
see what it
look
is.
Look at us, big boys.
Shondell, hey Shondell.
Hey guys, how are you this morning?
Good. What do you think about this?
Look, I am a larger girl, and I'm like a tiny, larger girl, I'm fat. Like, there's no ifs, buts, or maybes. As long as everyone's getting weighed, I couldn't give a rat's backside.
Yeah.
If they want to weigh me, I couldn't give a rat's backside if they want to charge me extra.
Yeah,
what
right.
they need to do is make it comfortable for everyone. Mm. No one likes to be sat next to the chubby person because they lose their arm rim, all that sort of stuff. Mm. I don't care as long as everyone's comfortable. I don't want to make the person next to me uncomfortable.
No,
I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want my butt squished into a tiny seat when it doesn't fit. Mm. I don't want to have to ask for an extension. I want the people who are trained to, you know, run along and sell me cookies. Oh, hang on, that girl's a little larger. Maybe I might ask her if she'd like an extension.
But wouldn't you find that insulting? Would some people find that insulting?
I'm fat. Like, I put the food in my mouth. I choose not to exercise as much as I probably could do.
Yeah.
And that's my choice. And I'm okay with who I am.
Mm.
I have
that's
no
great.
Issues with who I am. I have issues with other people making it an issue.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm happy with who I am. I'm very happy with who I am.
Okay.
It doesn't bother me at all.
I mean, you're obviously very self. You're a very confident woman, and I love that. But you know, I don't know that everyone is as confident as.
I think there's a very discreet way they could do it. You put scales at the check-in counter.
Everyone's see the getting reading. Weight. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, you just stand on.
Yeah,
the scale
they're not putting
as you're
the reading
in.
Up on the screen behind them. Jeez.
You're not setting off an alarm.
Nah, Shondell, I've got some drag tickets to give you. If you is Shondell gone?
She's hung up. Yeah.
Oh well, Shondell, you've won drag tickets.
Yay!
We had the spin. Yeah, I had some for her. They'll call her back.
Yeah, they'll call
her. I'll call her back. But Shondell, you're going off to Drake. Thanks, everyone. It's a really sticky subject, but it's real. Yeah. It's real life.
Yes.
And it happens. Yep. Thank you for being respectful. And oh, there she is. Hey, she's back. Hey, Shondell.
Can I actually? Okay. Do we get them?
Yes, so yes, you've got Drake tickets. You've got Drake tickets.
I'm 19-year-old in the car.
Oh, you're 19-year-old.
I kid you not. I am crying. Oh.
Excellent.
That's great. Thanks, guys. Enjoy drag together. Thanks, everyone, for your calls. What do we want to do? Do we want to talk about the divas or do we want to talk about this story?
Okay.
You do this one.
It's either 13, 10, 60.
You want to hear about?
You want to hear about divas?
Yeah.
Or loose Canadian unit smashes world record for sculling piss and running a mile.
That's the headline. Okay, why don't we just do this? Have you got the Beyonce opener? Yes. Just play that.
Okay, ladies, let's talk Queen Beyonce. Cause she slays, cause I slay. Slay, slay, slay. I slay, baby. Bay slay, slay, slay.
I recorded that, and I don't know what it means.
That's so good. So just quickly, diva chat. Beyonce, the cast of The Lion King has been announced.
I know. I read it all. It's amazing.
It is so hectic.
It's incredible.
Beyonce has been cast as Nala, which is amazing.
Also, Mufasa is still Mufasa.
James Earl Jones is still Mufasa,
yes.
Who I'm sexually attracted to.
That's okay.
I'm attracted to the lion.
Oh, I thought you were James Earl Jones.
No, I'm attracted
to
Mufasa.
I'd have a go at James Earl Jones.
I would have a go at Mufasa. Everything the light touches.
What's Mary got to say? Did Mary call in and say which one she wanted?
Donald Glover is playing Simba, which is epic.
Yes.
Pumbaa, Seth Rogen.
Yes. I'm very excited.
It's so good.
It's
and
be great.
John Oliver, Zazu. Yes. I mean, the whole
Zazu.
Thing is so
John
exciting.
Oliver Zazu was very exciting as well.
It's great.
It's very exciting.
So that was my diva chat. And then my other one was Madonna Flu Economy.
Oh, we're going to play Madonna's
opener. Play Madonna.
Madge watch, we're going to chat Madonna in this radio spot. Madge watch.
I don't understand that one either.
Madonna Flu Economy.
Done. Now,
tell me about this loose unit.
Absolute Canadian weapon has belted the world record for the daunting beer mile.
What?
That is a mile-long foot race that requires all participants to sink bulk piss throughout. Who wrote this?
Wow, that's from Pedestrian. We love Pedestrian.
His name's Corey. Yeah. Excellent.
Corey's a loose unit.
Corey from Canada took on the challenge, which involves four laps of a quarter-mile track with one beer consumed per lap, and not only managed to win by a staggering 30 seconds.
Wow.
But he managed to smash his own world record in the process. What? An absolute champion of men.
Well, drink responsibly, obviously.
Well, he was exercising at the same time.
That is incredible. Now, the race is partly judged on drinking technique and just the fact that you finish. And vomiting during the races incurs a full penalty lap.
It's so good.
Oh, that is really great.
We've hit peak humanity. There's so many of us. There's so many ideas already floated out there. Now these are things.
Would
that
you
happen.
Like to hear this guy's his ethos?
Yes.
He says, "Chug fast, burp and breathe."
Yes.
That's you know it. What? I don't want to throw the term hero around too loosely, but
so I wouldn't.
He also manages. He's humble despite his global dominance. That's nice.
Good on you, mate. Oh, well done.
That break was so hashtag on brand.
Yeah.
Divas beer. What else did we do?
We forgot what we were doing, so that's very on brand.
Yes! That's all we have time for.
I've gone a bit crazy.
You've lost your mind. thanks so much for the week, Sydney. You were great. We were mediocre. Nothing new there. If you want to catch up, you can get our podcast. You can get that at iTunes. You can go to todayfm.com.au. What are you doing?
I did that for ages, just waiting for you to look at it.
Stop it.
Ugly.
Wrangling a toddler and Ritalin.
Yes.
So that's it. Thank you. And we'll be hearing you Monday morning. That's it.
That podcast of the M. Rossiano Radio Show with Harley Breen was brought to you by Australia's best mobile network. To find out more about their latest offers, go to telstra.com.au or head into your nearest Telstra store today. The M. Rossiano.